Blog Talk Radio.
Father God, we thank you, God, for this opportunity, Father,
for there is no opportunity that we take for granted, Father God.
Yes,
anytime
God.
That two or more can come together to celebrate you, to give you honor, and to learn about your name and Jesus Christ, we thank you and give you honor for it, Father God. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Well, tonight, we're going to be in Ephesians chapter 3. Can I please move that bag? Slide it over or something so that it's not making all that noise. Ephesians chapter 3. We're in the New Living Translation. Ephesians chapter 3. We're starting out talking about God's mysterious plan revealed. God's mysterious plan revealed. All right. Okay. I need somebody to read verses 1 and 2.
For this reason, I, Paul, a prisoner for Christ Jesus on behalf of you Gentiles, assuming that you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for you.
Okay. 3 and 4. 3 and 4, Adam.
As I briefly wrote earlier, God himself revealed his mysterious plan to me. As you read what I've written, you understand my insight into this plan regarding Christ.
I'll go ahead and read 5.
God did not reveal it to previous generations, but now by his Spirit, he has revealed it to his Holy Spirit, his holy apostles and prophets.
Okay. So let's pause right there, okay? So here in Ephesians, Paul is writing to the church at Ephesus, and he's saying, when I think of all of this, right, Paul, who's a prisoner of Christ Jesus for the benefit of the Gentiles. Now, Peter went to the Jews, but Paul went to the Gentiles. They had different callings. Both of them were spreading the gospel, but they were spreading it in different ways. They went to different people. And he said, assuming, by the way, that you know, God gave me the special responsibility of extending his grace to you Gentiles. Now, this ought to bless somebody. Every ministry is not for everybody.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. You know, God will give certain grace to different ministries for certain things, right?
Yes.
For certain people. People are called to certain people. Everybody's not called to the same people.
Mm-hmm.
That's why there should be no competition
yes.
in the body of Christ, right? Because everybody has a different calling. There's a group of people that you specifically have been called to minister to. Your life is going to let you know who those people are. So how do you know who those people are? Those people you often have a special draw towards. Now check this out. Now this is the irony in Paul's draw, right? Paul was drawn to the persecution of Christians, right? He was persecuting the Jews, the people who were like him, who were raised like him. But God said, listen, I'm going to turn it all around, and I'm going to send you to the people that you used to not even be willing to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to make you deal with those people,
mm-hmm.
and you're going to extend my grace to those people.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? It said, as I briefly wrote earlier, God himself revealed his mysterious plan to me. Now, listen, we can hear from prophets. We can hear from apostles, evangelists, teachers. We can hear from the fivefold ministry, right?
Mm-hmm.
But who we first need to hear from when it comes to our life
God.
Is God.
Mm-hmm.
God will reveal his mysterious plan as it relates specifically to your life.
Mm-hmm.
To your life, okay? So he's going to let you know about your life.
Mm-hmm.
We've got to stop expecting man to tell us God's plan for our life.
Mm-hmm.
We need to seek God for that. If you seek God for his plan for your life, then he will make it plain to you. He'll make it clear to you what his plan is. It said that as you read what I've written, you will understand my insight into this plan regarding Christ. See, we think sometimes pastors act like, and the church acts like, there is no new knowledge. And it's not new knowledge,
mm-hmm.
but it's new revelation
right.
of the knowledge that's there.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible is written in layers, right? There's the basic layer. That's what you can take when you obey, right? You can get the basics. That's it. That's where you understand it. But as you begin to grow in Christ, you begin to see behind the basic. You begin to look deeper into it. I remember just reading the story of Jesus telling Peter to come walk on the water. When Peter said, "Jesus, is that you?" And he said, "Yes." He said, "Well, if it's you, bid me to come. Tell me to come." He said, "Come." And he got out and he began walking on the water. So on the surface, we look at it and we see, oh, wow, Peter got out of the boat. He began to walk towards Jesus. He walked on the water and then he started sinking, right? And Jesus had to reach out and he had to save him. But think about this. On a deeper level, even deeper than the natural level, it points to the fact that when Christ is calling us, mm-hmm. He's bidding us to come to him, right? Mm-hmm. And as long as we've got our eyes focused on him, we won't sink. But the moment we take our eyes off him and we begin to pay attention to our circumstances, what's going on around us, oh my God, this is blessing me.
Yeah.
The moment we begin to pay attention to our circumstances and what's happening around us, we begin to get frustrated and worry, and we begin to get worked up, and we're not looking at the source. We're focusing on the circumstance, and we began to sink. But he's so faithful because he's always there to save us, to reach out a hand to save us, right? So the word, you can read the same scripture multiple times, and God will reveal new stuff to you in it. He'll show you other things that's in the word. He said, God did not reveal it to previous generations, but now by his Spirit, he has revealed it to his holy apostles and prophets. There are some things that God's revealing in this season. And it's not stuff that really has been talked about before. It's not that it wasn't there before, but there's coming in, people are coming into a deeper understanding. For example, the whole concept of the fivefold ministry. It's not that it disappeared. It's that the church didn't want to deal with all of that. They said, okay, we got pastors. We can deal with pastors, right? And then they said, well, maybe we can deal with bishops depending on your denomination, right? But this whole concept of apostles and prophets and, well, hold on now. We can get evangelists because evangelists go out and they evangelize. But what is this apostle thing? And how do you become an apostle? And how do you become a prophet? The offices never went away. See, when we look at the word of God and we look at Jesus, Jesus said that those who believe in me, those who follow after me, greater works than what I did will you do, right?
Mm-hmm.
If Jesus was the embodiment of the fivefold ministry, he was all of those offices in one,
mm-hmm.
then that means that today that can exist. But you've got people who said, no, you can only be one thing, and that's it. But that's not true, okay? But you've got to be, God has to reveal himself and that stuff to you. Now let's go to verse 6, DeKayla. Okay, well, I'm going to wait for you to get it. You sure can.
My phone's
charging, huh? Read 6 and 7, DeKayla.
This is our text. From this time, to believe this good news, share equality and riches inherited by God's children. Both are part of the same body, and both enjoy the promise of blessing because they belong to Jesus Christ.
Stop right there, DeKayla. Hold on. Pass this over there to DeKayla. And DeKayla, I want you to read that again. I want you to slow it down just a little bit. Because this is God's plan now. Pass it to DeKayla. Micah, he can't do that.
And this is God's plan. Both Gentiles and Jews who believe this, believe the God's news, share the good news, share equally in the riches inherited by God's children.
Stop right there. We know, but this is God's plan, that both the Jews and the Gentiles share equally.
Mm-hmm.
There is no one is better than the other,
mm-hmm.
one is higher than the other. Whether you were born into it or you were grafted into it, we share equally,
mm-hmm.
equally in the riches inherited by God's children. Everything that God promised to the children of Israel, when we were grafted in, we have access to the same thing. It's just like a
adoption, if I adopt a child, that child has equal rights to everything that I have, just like my biological children. Just because I did not carry them and birth them doesn't mean they don't have access to it, right? You're an attorney, right, Natasha? Is that right? Okay. Now, but check this out. If I black folk adopt them and I just claim them, but there's no legal work done, do they have access?
Nope.
Do they have equal rights?
Nope.
No. They have no rights, right? So really, they can have no rights unless it's written in the will. They would have no rights, no claim. God has given us a claim. Young people, I want y'all to get this. Adam said something today in his Bible study class. They were talking about the rapture, right? See, we got to understand that we're living in the end times. Jesus is going to return. And when he returns, he's returning for the church. He's returning for a church without blot, without spot or blemish, okay? And when he comes, he's going to crack the sky open. And the dead in Christ will rise first, right?
Mm-hmm.
After the dead in Christ rises, then those who belong to him will be caught up with him. No matter what you're doing, you're going to be caught up with God. Jesus is going to be up there, and we're going to just be caught up. And it's going to be some people who will be left. They won't be raptured. They won't go. And they'll have to live on this earth and go through trials and tribulations. And they'll have to prove themselves to God. It's real. I don't say, well, Mom, it's happening in the 28th. Don't nobody know the day nor the hour.
28th of what?
September. He said September.
That's my birthday.
Ooh. Okay, but check this out. Check this out. Check this out. So this blessed me. This blessed me. Oh, okay. This blessed me. He said, Mom, ever since we talked about the rapture, I had a headache.
Oh, get it?
Ever since we talked about the rapture, I had a headache.
Why'd you have a headache? I don't know.
Maybe your dad said coming in. Your dad said coming in.
If you get raptured with Christ, you don't die. You're like a life. You get translated from earth to heaven. You don't die. There's no death in it, right? So you never experience a physical death. And then he said to me, he said, Mom, you're going to get raptured. I know you're going to get raptured. Well, listen, this is why we've got to understand God's plan, right? If you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, with a sincere heart, you too will be raptured. It's not about our works. Our works do not allow us to experience God's salvation. It is his grace. You can't work your way into heaven. If you go to church more than other people, it don't get you in better. If you've read the Bible from front to back, it don't make you go any better. Listen, I'm telling you, you just have to accept God as your Lord, Jesus as your Lord and Savior in order to qualify for the rapture. And this is why y'all have to understand this. There will be people who will try to convince you that if you engage in sin, and you die without having repented from your sin, that you'll go to hell. I don't see that in my word. In fact, the word of God says that none could be snatched from his hand. Once you're in his hand, you can't be snatched from his hand. You belong to him. Just like those people who take the mark of the beast are sealed to the beast. When we take the mark of God by accepting Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we are sealed in God. We're sealed. He sealed us. There's a seal. You wonder why, when you go places, why people know you're different and why they know you don't really fit in and you're not like everybody. That's because your seal is showing. Your seal is showing. You got the mark of the Most High God on your life. That's why you look different. You act different. And even when you try to act like everybody
when he went off to college. And he said he grew up in the church. He said at 3 years old, he told his dad that he was saved. And his dad didn't believe him. He said, no, I'm saved. Jesus is my Savior. He said, no, he's too young. You don't understand it. You don't understand it. But he did. He understood it. And he knew he was going to be a preacher. So he goes off to college, growing up in church, serving in the church. He goes off to college, and he decides he's going to go to a party. He goes to the party. He's standing in the line with everybody else. He didn't have no cool clothes because he was a nerd, you know. He's standing in the line with everybody else, and somebody stands behind him and says, why are you here? You don't belong here. And he said, well, you know, I can come to the party just like everybody else. They said, no, you don't belong here. You're different. And he said, well, I'm saying, they said, no, you need to leave. And he said, no, I'm not leaving. I'm going to pay my money, and I'm going to go in, too. He was standing out there in the line, and he said, the person kept bugging him about leaving him. You don't even know me. Why are you bugging me? I don't know who you are. Why are you bugging me? He said, when he got close to the front, right when he was getting ready to go in, the fire marshal showed up and shut the party down and said, everybody go home. He turned around to say something to the person who was behind him, and they were gone. They were gone. He said he was in his room, and he had an encounter with God. And for 3 days, he didn't leave his room. He didn't go eat. He didn't want to leave. He didn't talk to nobody on the phone. He didn't go to class. He didn't do anything. He was in the presence of God. And God transformed him in that time. He said all the time he'd been going to church, all the time he'd been serving in the church, it took that encounter with God to change his life. And he knew in that encounter that he was called to more, that he was called to greater. And they ended up, because he was working with the college choir, he said the drummer had broken his ankle or something. And he said, can we pray for you? And he said, sure. He prayed for him. He said, God said you're healed. The guy put some weight on it. Stood on it. And he put all his weight on it. And then the guy was walking around. He went to the doctor. Came back to the choir with his x-rays. Two x-rays. One x-ray showed the fracture. The other x-ray showed no fracture. And the doctor said, only God could have done this. God wants us to experience the supernatural. We're so busy in the natural that we're missing out on what the super added to the natural can do. Why? The natural is comfortable. The supernatural is uncomfortable because we don't understand it. It doesn't all make sense. It's not logical. It doesn't flow, right? But it's where God is taking us. Jesus didn't operate in the natural. He operated in the supernatural. The supernatural is when you take two fish and five loaves. You bless it. You break it. And it feeds a multitude of people with baskets of food left over. That's super added to your natural. God wants to do that for us. And that's why it's important that we understand the mystery of his plan. Okay, y'all, I want to try to preach. Okay, Caleb. Go ahead, Caleb. Okay, verse 6.
Both are part of the same body and both enjoy the promise of blessings because they belong to Jesus Christ. By God's grace and mighty power, I've been given the privilege of serving him by spreading this good news.
Okay. It is a privilege to serve God. It is a privilege. Now, I don't know about anybody else, but I haven't always thought of it as a privilege. Because there have been times when it seemed like a weight. It seemed like a burden. It seemed like more than I could bear, okay? But it is a privilege to have the opportunity to serve God and spread the good news. It's what? Yes. Yes. Because we can serve freely. People in other countries can't serve freely. See, we take for granted, right, the word. It's easily accessible. We can have a Bible. We can have our Bible app. We can have all of that. In other countries, they can't. The word is spread by word of mouth, and they have to memorize scriptures and hold on to it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Eight and nine, Joshua. Mm-hmm. 8 and 9.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Pass the phone over.
I just want to touch on scriptures and what have you. It wasn't too long ago that we had to do the same thing. I don't know if any of you ever studied history, but if you haven't, pick up your history books. I mean, slaves were not allowed to worship God,
mm-hmm.
and they opened. So they had to learn these things,
mm-hmm.
and memorize them. And I think that's why they were so blessed once they became aware of the fullness of God, is because of their faith and their reliance on Him. And we have to get back to that point.
Yes. Okay. Linda.
And one of the things that's so important for us is that we have to stay in our praise, because the enemy wants to get us out of a place of praise, and the reason is because God inhabits praise.
Mm-hmm.
And so the minute that we step aside, you know, like you were saying, get distracted,
yes.
from, you know, emotionally, what happens is we start, because yesterday I was real emotional too.
Right,
and
right.
I called the pastor, and, you know, just after, you know, we got done talking, and she was like, you know, she was encouraging me. And then, you know, I just went upstairs and I just started praising God.
Yes.
And the minute that I started to worship, I heard a word in my ear. Just like that in a second. Because God has an answer for every problem.
Yes, He does.
Mm. And what happens is that He wants us to lift Him up, and He wants us to know that.
Yes.
So when we have these tests and these trials and these situations that come, they just come to get us out of our faith.
Mm-hmm.
They come to distract us so that we're not keeping our eyes, like, you know, the pastor has said, on God and giving Him the praise through His name, because He's a great God.
Yes, He
is. You know, and sometimes, you know, when we're down here in this human environment, we just get a little bit too human.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, we're human, but we're human and we're God. We're,
mm-hmm.
we're natural and we're God. So we're God in a sense. That
mm-hmm.
we're joint heirs with Christ. We have
yes.
this great ability, you know, this great place that we can draw from the waters of God that comes to bring, it's like it just wants to come right in there into our situation and just flood it. But what happens is that instead of us drawing from those waters, we end up drawing from our circumstances. And
yes.
And those things just keep surrounding us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, 'cause I went through a period where I was like, you know what, God, what is this? What is this? What is this? You know? And I realized that, you know, the mind, first of all, you got to get the mind.
Right.
Because that mind that Christ gives to us is the word. That word is what, if that word take over, He say, let this mind be in us that was also in Christ Jesus.
Yes.
You see, so it's difficult in the midst of our trials to get that mind. But that's why we're here to help each other.
Right.
That's where the press has to come.
Yes.
Because as our pastor was saying that today, I knew that she's on the edge of a blessing, but
mm-hmm.
she got to have
mm-hmm.
godly people. Because what happens is when you go in the delivery room, the pain begins to get so great that you need a coach. And the coach has to begin to say,
mm-hmm.
breathe and push.
Yes.
Breathe and push.
Yes.
Because if you don't, you'll be encapsulated with that pain till
mm-hmm.
it'll paralyze you, your body.
Yes.
And you will not want to push. You'll just be like
mm-hmm.
stuck right there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so that's why we have to, as the godly, You know, that's why the godly don't say, don't give up. They don't say, oh, don't just give up. Don't, you know, that's what the world says. But the godly, when they get a vision of it, they say, uh-uh, you right there. It's time to push now.
Yes.
You cannot give up.
Yes.
Come on, push.
Yes.
Push. Push.
Yes.
Breathe. Push, you know what I'm saying? And that's the way we are. So that's why, you know, today when I got here, I had a song on my heart because this is the hour that our pastor is coming through.
Yes.
And the things that God is blessing her life with is also going to trickle down to everyone. So, you know, if we stand back and we don't understand it and don't help her push in this season, then, you know, the things that God included, we're all included in all of this. You know, it's not just the things that,
That's
it's
okay.
not just the things that are for her, but they're the things that's for all of us because she, you know, God has anointed her to bring these things to us. And so, you know, this is why, you know, when we see these things, that's why I was telling her on the thing I said, that's because we're close to the grave.
Yeah.
And
so
when you're there, you think the devil's just going to stand and say, come on in and eat the grape.
Yeah.
You know, he's going to be talking about, come on in here and eat the
grape. That's right.
He's going to put all of his best forces, the ones that's going to come and try to, you know, play a trick on your finances, play a trick over here, you know. And the thing of it is that we got to stay in the praise because the miracle is in that praise.
Yes.
Because the equation is it's more that's with us than is against us.
Yes.
We can't see all the people really that's gathered together with us. We
can't
see them with our natural eyes, but we have to begin to envision it spiritually. God has set people all around us to help us to accomplish everything that he has said for us to do. Now, our thing is that we have to stay clear enough to hear him when he says, move to the left.
Yes.
Okay, I need you to move left.
Yeah.
We need to stay clear. You're going to say, move, I want you to go over here. We cannot afford to get bogged down in our mind because what happens, then God can't speak to us.
Yes.
It makes it very difficult. So, you know, I just want to encourage us. We just need to lift up some worship around our pastor, around our circumstances, and just begin to flood the gates of God. Because guess what? God won't be able to take it either.
Yeah.
Because when we start praising, he's like, that's my child. He's there. He's like, that's my baby right there. And it's like, you know, he just be like, you know, and that's the way God, he gets excited when we praise him.
Right.
It's just something that moves him. And so we have to understand that God is, you know, he's very much like us in the sense that we like praises. You know, you got a wife, and when you start telling her how wonderful she gets all excited. When she starts telling you that, you get all excited. You be ready to do anything you can.
That's
right.
Superman.
She turns into Superwoman. You know what I'm saying? And it's just... It is. It's for real. And so we have to understand that. One of the things that God told me, he said, that's the reason we can't get what we want from
him. Amen.
You know, the lady who was the lady, the Syrophoenician woman, she was a woman that everybody thought, oh, she's not nothing. Get her away from us. She's nobody. You know, look at her. She's messing with us. She's doing this. They thought she wasn't worth anything. But she was able to access the greatness of God. She was able to access God because she understood that God knew that loves worship, that he abides there. Because they talked about her, even Jesus said, well, what do I have with the dog? She just kept worshiping.
Mm-hmm.
He ignored her. She kept worshiping. Why? Because when we keep worshiping, God cannot take it. Mm-hmm. He has to step in there and say, give them what they want.
Mm-hmm.
And so many times the enemy tries to plague our minds and tell us we're not worthy. The accuser of the brethren as Christians, this is what the Lord said. He'll begin to tell you, you remember when you did that wrong? That's why you're not going to get that blessing. He begins to point out all of your flaws so that you can, you know, so you can say, oh, I'm not worthy of that blessing. He wants you to disqualify yourself.
Right.
But she... When he came, because, you know, when we praise him, God going to confront us, and he, you know, he's real. You know what I mean? She didn't come to him and say, hey, I ain't no dog. She said, yay. But even the dogs can eat crumbs from the table, because we have to have a word of faith on our lips. We have to be ready in this season to answer God back when he says, okay, well, you know, what about when you did this? Or what about what you doing this? You got to have faith in your heart. We have to have faith for every situation in our life. And like the pastor was telling us, you know, we have to get the word. We have to go search the word out for this circumstance so that we're standing on the word of God for every circumstance of our life, because God has so much for us in this season. And, of course, the enemy wants to distract you because the miracle is about to happen. And he knows that if you can press through over to that, over into the promises of God, ain't nothing going to be withheld from you. You're going to have that super abundant overflow of the blessing. Because, see, that's what going into that promise is about, is getting that overflow blessing so that it's just like a flow that nobody can't stop, because that's who God is. And that's when people stand back and say, that's God. You see, that's when, because, see, if I do something, I do a little something, they can say, well, that was Linda. You know, when I come with a little, you know, they be like, well, she did that. But when God supersedes, the world begin to say, ooh, look what God did. That's when he establishes his covenant. He say, now my covenant is established in your life, because it's no more me. It's no more I can't even claim it. I can't even, there's nowhere that I can even look to see that this is something that I did. And that's the way God wants to astonish us. He wants to astonish us like that. That's what the great patriarchs like Abraham and all of them, they were astonished because God superseded so many expectations and blessed them so well till people knew.
Linda, that ties right in. Go ahead and read verses 8 and 9, because that's going to tie right in for what you just said.
I'm sorry. So I didn't mean to. But I just,
that's all right.
It
that's
just
all right.
In my, it was in my heart, because I just wanted, you know, I know that.
Yeah.
He said it was in you, so you know it's
bringing up. Though I am the least deserving of all God's people, he graciously gave me the privilege of telling the Gentiles about the endless treasures available to them in Christ. I was chosen to explain to everyone this mysterious plan that God, the creator of all things, had kept secret from the beginning.
All right. The endless treasures available to them in Christ. Even as Gentiles, we have access to the endless treasures in Christ. Endless treasures. I'm talking about there's no end. That's that abundance that you're talking about. There's no end, right? It's not like, okay, we've got treasures to right here. No. They keep going and going and going and going and going. It keeps getting gooder and gooder and gooder and gooder. It's infinity. It is that infinity of treasure. It's that infinity of treasure. That infinity. It doesn't stop. It doesn't cease, right? But we got to know that we have access to it. That it is our right to have it. It is our right.
And not because we're so wonderful. See, that's where a lot of times we get confused. It's not because we're so wonderful that we have this access. We have this access through God's love. His grace. It was because he loved us we have this access, not because we're so wonderful. We did it. And that's how the enemy tries to work against us. He tries to point out our flaws. He tries to, you know, make us feel like we're nothing and make us take down from this place and this position that God has called us to a royalty, to be a joint heir with Christ. You know, and that's where it kind of, you know, our mind can't wrap itself around this. Well, how can I be an heir, a joint heir? Because that means that I'm equal. That means, yes, it means I got the same access that Jesus has. So there's nothing that Jesus had access to that we don't have access to. And in fact, he said, now you can do greater things than me. So that means that we have a greater access than even Jesus himself said that he had, because there were certain things that he came to do specifically. and he set the course for us. But we have to understand that, you know, and not be ashamed of it, not, you know, allow the enemy to talk us out of it, not, you know, play it down. I can't help it that my daddy loves me and he favors me.
That's it.
I'm not going to be ashamed of this gospel because I don't care that someone else don't like it. See, I used to worry about what other people thought about me. I used to worry about how they felt, and I used to hide. I literally would hide because I just wanted to fit in with other people. I didn't want to see the things that I seen.
Right.
I didn't want to have to say the things that I was being prompted to say. I didn't want to have to say it because I'm thinking, well, if I say this, they're going to think this about me or they're going to think that. And it wasn't never about me until I had to get to the place where I had to come to realize that, Linda, you didn't make yourself.
That's right.
I wasn't in the heavens when he said design her this way.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not about me. It's about his glory in this earth. We've been called for his purpose to glorify his name. And once we understand that, I don't have to be ashamed of being royalty. I don't have to be ashamed of it. You know what? And you don't have to be ashamed because I don't have anything that you can't have.
That's right.
You have the same access that I have.
We all have it.
See, so it's not about me being better or somebody being better.
Wendy,
you got the same access to the same thing.
Yeah.
Now, sometimes we got to learn it because that's what he said. Come learn of me. We don't know it. But my thing is that, you know, when people try to make you feel like you don't have the access that someone else has.
Come on. I just was talking about that.
Lindsay,
you
gotta give me some on that.
I just was talking about that. When I was talking to Apostle LDJ, Apostle Joe from Periscope, and I was telling him, I said, you know, God just will not let me go certain places and connect with certain people. You know,
mm-hmm.
He just won't, right? And I said, and the whole time I've been here, God never would allow me to go over with that wall. He would never allow it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, and I used to love watching Paula White on TV. So I just knew when I got to Tampa, oh, I'm going with that wall. I'm going to go get Paula. Every time I got ready to go, he shut it down.
Mm.
Shane Perry. I said, oh, I'm going to go get shut it down. He would not allow me to go. And people would say things to me like, oh, you're like a combination of Joyce Meyer, Paula White, and Juanita Bynum. And I said, you know, I want you to hear what you just said. It takes all three of them to make the one me.
Mm-hmm.
That tells you what
mm-hmm.
God has poured inside
mm-hmm.
of you. See, because when it comes to being you, nobody can beat you at
mm-hmm.
being you.
Mm-mm.
Can't nobody be Paula White at being Paula White.
Mm-mm.
Can't nobody be Joyce Meyer at being Joyce Meyer. And can't nobody be Juanita Bynum at being Juanita Bynum. But guess what? Can't nobody be Dr. V at being Dr. V.
Mm-mm.
I am unique.
Mm-hmm.
And we all are.
Yes.
And that's what you got to understand.
Amen.
There is no one who is just like you. But until you can own who God made you to be,
mm-hmm.
so you can embrace it. Embrace the fact that you're different. You're not going to do it like everybody else. It's not going to look like everybody else's. You've got to discover God's mysterious plan that he has laid out just for you and let him reveal it to you.
Mm-hmm.
And as he reveals it, he'll give you specific instructions on what to do, where to move, what to say, all of those mm-hmm. things. He'll lay it out for you. And it's for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
Dion, can you read 10 and 11 for us, please? Okay, I'm sorry.
It's okay. So that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was according to the eternal purpose that he has realized in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Now listen to this. God's purpose for the church was to use it to display his wisdom in its rich variety to all the unseen rulers and authorities. We need the church.
Mm-hmm.
We need the church. Not the building,
mm-hmm.
but the body.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
We are the church.
Mm-hmm.
And God needs us in order to unveil who he is to the world. And because we're not in position, and because we're caught up in ourselves, and we're caught up in our stuff, and our circumstances, and our situation, God's plan is not being unfolded the way he wants it to be unfolded.
Mm-hmm.
Because the church, us, are out of sync, out of alignment, out of his will, out of purpose. Because we believe the lies that we were told, that people told us when we were growing up. You bad, you talk too much, you do too much, sit down somewhere. You meddling, you nosy. You ain't gonna be nobody. We begin to believe the lies. You ugly. You fat. You too black. You too yellow. You got a gap. You this, you that. We believe the lie. Because your parents didn't do it, you can't do it. You don't even know your daddy. Your mama didn't raise you. How you gonna be somebody? Ain't nobody else in your family done nothing.
That's right.
You can't do nothing either. You just like your mama. Fast and hot. You gonna have a house full of kids. You just like your daddy. You ain't no good. You ain't good for nothing. You just gonna run around making babies. Or the things that sound good. Oh, you gonna be a heartbreaker. You so beautiful. But no brain. So you learn that your value is in your beauty. And not your brain. Our boys learn that their value is in breaking hearts. And not mending them. So we have all these lies floating around in our mind. And until we can identify them, we can't address them. And if we don't address them, we can't be healed from them. And every lie that you've been told must be replaced with a truth. And that's where the Word of God comes into play. We've got to replace all the lies with truth. I'm going to read this, these last two. Because of Christ and our faith in him, we can now come boldly and confidently into God's presence. So please don't lose heart because of my trials here. Don't look at my going through and you give up because you see me going through. I am suffering for you. So you should feel honored. Because of Christ and our faith in him, we can now come boldly and confidently into God's presence.
We don't have to say, Father God, we come to you with a bowed down heart and humble spirit.
He said we can come boldly
and
confidently into God's presence, declaring what God's word has already said about us, about our situation, about our circumstances. Whatever we're dealing with in our life, God has an answer in this book, right? His word speaks to it. And we declare that word over our life, over the situation, and over the circumstances. So listen, instead of getting distracted by our emotions because of our situations and our circumstances, we've got to declare what God says about us. So when we feel like we're being overtaken because our finances are not what we need them to be, I don't know about nobody else's, but right now my finances are not looking like I need them to be. Those are the times that we have to declare the word of God over our finances and say, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof.
Come on now.
I am a joint heir with Christ.
Yeah.
Come on, let's stay in this church. Let's go back to
Amen.
Come on now, Pastor. Come on.
Hold on. Let me get to it. Let me get to it. Yes, yes, yes.
That's good.
Both are part of the same body, and both enjoy the promise of blessing because they belong to Christ Jesus. By God's great and mighty power, I have been given the privilege of serving him by spreading this good news. And though I am least deserving of all God's people, mm-hmm. he graciously gave me the privilege of telling the Gentiles about the endless treasures available to them. There are endless treasures available to us in Christ Jesus. When our children start acting up and they're not doing what we think they need to do, and we're concerned because it seems like they're going astray.
Come on now, come on.
Raise them up in the way that they should go, and they shall not depart. Doesn't mean that they won't get off the track a little bit,
right.
But baby, they got to come back.
Right.
Yeah.
They got to come back.
Right.
You've got to find the word of God that speaks to your situation and your circumstances.
That's right.
And when you do that, no longer do your situations and your circumstances dictate your situation.
Yeah.
Your mindset, your emotions, your spirit, your being. So listen, I knew I had to do a periscope, right? Because I needed to just get that out. I needed to get that. Y'all need to know. Listen, I was having a jacked up day. This is one of them days, I promise you, I done cussed so many times today. I done cussed. I'm talking about I done cussed, okay? I said, you know, the A word. I'm talking about I said it. Like, I done cussed, baby. I done cussed. I was feeling it. And that's what happens to me when I'm under that pressure. That pressure makes me cuss. And this is why I know I'm in labor. When I was in labor and I was having my babies, listen, I either gave one or two responses. Either I cussed or I prayed. I either cussed or I prayed, depending on how much pressure was coming.
Okay.
And where I was in my mindset. But when I was feeling the pressure and I was feeling like it wasn't going to go nowhere, I cussed up. Get this D baby out of me. How y'all watching Oprah? That's some ball right there. I'm laying up here in pain. I told them, get me my shoes. I'm leaving. I be in my My husband laughing. Hey, what you gonna do? Walk down the street with a baby hanging out, with carrying the IV and the baby hanging out the butt? If that's what I gotta do, I'll do it. I don't care. I'm sick of this. Leave. And then I remember, that was Michael. That was Michael. I remember when I was pregnant with Adam and I was in labor. By this time, I was in a place in God where I was very calm. And I remember being in the delivery room. And I remember saying, if Jesus can endure the cross, I can endure this labor.
Sure.
Amen.
If Jesus can endure the cross for me, surely I can deliver, I can endure this labor. And that's what I stayed right there. And I prayed in the spirit because I knew that if I used my word, a word might come out. It didn't need to come out. So I had to pray in the spirit because the spirit knows what you need. And God gave me a calm. He gave me a peace, and I was able to endure the labor and push the baby out without cussing nobody out. Nobody got cussed out. It was a pleasant birthing experience. Micah folks was getting cussed out. Rick's hand was all bruised up because I done squeezed it to death because the pain was too great. It had been a long time since I had a baby. I said, hold up now. Wait a minute. I forgot about this part right here. So you guys, we are in labor. But while we're in labor, God's desire is to reveal his mysterious plan, which is no longer a mystery once he reveals it. And what is the mystery? The mystery is this, that he has made us equal to his children. Whether Jew or Gentile, equal access to the blessing. He has made us so that we can receive endless treasures
in
Christ Jesus.
That's right.
Why? His plan is to use us, the church, to show the world God's wisdom.
Yeah.
And that he is real. Now that is amazing.
Yeah.
That he chose to use us when I jacked up self. With my cussing self. With our inadequate self. With whatever our issues are. He said, no, I want you. Just like that. Come. There's work for you to do. So you guys, I just challenge all of us as we are in this birthing season. And we're going through the different phases of labor. To really pay attention to our response to the pain. To pay attention to our response to the pain. Because pain is going to trigger a response. What the response is up to us. He gives us a choice in how to respond. But this is the season where the pains are going to be great. They're going to start coming harder and faster. So it feels like you can't catch a breath between them. But that's your sign. You're about to deliver. That ought to encourage you. That's when you need to praise the most. Like, woo, this baby's almost out. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. The baby's almost out. Yes, Lord. We're delivering. We're delivering.
And the good thing about it, guys, is God said, I love us. I love you so much that I have even given you the keys to the kingdom. Ain't that what he said in Matthew 16:19? I've given you the keys to the kingdom to come and go as you please. He says, I've given you the authority to bind and loose everything on earth and in heaven. He said, that's the power I've given you. And that's why he's looking at us, guys, and he's shaking his head in excitement, then he's shaking his head in sadness because he said, I've already given you everything.
Everything
I've given you everything. I fell so deep in love with you, I gave you the keys. When the realtor gives you the key to your house, that means you got possession of the house, right? That means you come and go as you please. He could come and go as you please. You can have whatever you desire.
Yeah.
But yet we walk around with our head down every time a situation comes.
Yeah.
Every time the late bill comes and say that when your bill is late, you got 30 days, you start getting worried, and you start panicking. Not panicking.
Yeah.
God said, if I did it last month, I can do it.
Come on now.
Yeah.
And I know he done helped Tico up for us, honey.
Yes.
Tico was all in the neighborhood. We should have been cut off that Friday. Monday, Tico in the neighborhood.
Went right on by you, didn't
it? Went by us till that bill got paid. The Lord said, I get. Matter of fact, one time it was a Tuesday, and it was supposed to be cut off on Friday.
Right, God.
Yes, I'm telling you. God will do it for us. He will. Look at God. Look at God.
Traffic was horrendous Monday evening. I was like, you know, I got the money. It took me like an hour and a half. It usually only takes me like 20 minutes. I got there for like 10 minutes before they were closed.
Wow.
I called a Tico. I said, I need help here. He said, sir, I can't give you no extension. So, you can do it, but get the money. Call it back. Before 6. I said, ma'am, you don't understand. It's 10 minutes before 6. I'm in traffic. I haven't even gotten to the place. sir. Call us back. If it's after the hour, call back. Right? Leave on the voicemail. That doesn't work. Well, my receipt numbers. She heard me trying to call the after hour number, and they kept telling me, call back on the next business day. The next business day was Tuesday morning. But I had already heated it. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So I told my wife, if they come knock on this door in the morning, you just show them this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But we didn't even have a source of that.
Look at God.
Mm-hmm. It never even showed up.
Look at God. Look at God.
And I didn't even call in to tell them I had seen this.
Yeah. Look at God. Yeah.
And that's one of the things that we have to stop being apprehensive when it comes to money, because we look at money and we look at things, we have to change the way we see it. We got to see ourselves as the kings and queens.
Mm.
If you see yourself as a king or a queen, then you don't look at money the same way. Because you're a joint heir. It's just, I said, well, it's just not in my bank account, but it's
right.
In his bank account, and sometimes
mm-hmm.
we have to learn how to access it.
Mm-hmm.
We have to access it by faith.
Mm-hmm.
We're never going to get faith until we see ourselves. You know what I'm saying? Because a lot of times we don't see ourselves with the ability to do things
that's
that
right.
God has told us to do. We say, oh, I don't have enough money. Oh, I don't have this. You see, our confession is telling us that we don't have faith
mm-hmm.
yet. So we have to go back to the drawing board of our faith and begin to allow faith to be formed, like the pastor was saying, over all of those situations, so that what we're thinking has to change. Because God has given us, just like he said, access to everything. We think that access is there because I got $500. I walked into banks. I didn't have no money. I said, they're going to give me my money. And bad credit and all. Because they got my money in there. Because God said they had it.
Yes.
Not because I just want to go. Because God said they got my money.
Right.
And so I had to have boldness. So it takes boldness to step out there and say, you know what? I don't know how this is going to happen, but God said it and I believe it. And so once you start to allow that mind to be formed in you, then God will begin to allow you to access, because he'll start speaking to people and it'll just start moving.
Mm-hmm.
Because we got to stop being like apprehensive, because God has told us to do things that require money.
Yes.
You know, the things that he's told us to do requires money.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But we have to understand that money in God's eyesight is nothing.
That's
it's not what it is in our eyesight. And we have to not be inhibited. When I went to start my business, the Lord said, I'm pushing you out into the deep. I didn't have no money in my bank account for no business,
mm-hmm.
but God said it.
Mm-hmm.
I was just that's why it doesn't matter where we start at.
That's
because
right.
I was just a young lady in the projects, no money, you know what I'm saying, no inheritance, because my mother was dead, my father was dead. I had no inheritance.
Come on,
I had no one to help me,
mm-hmm.
to push me forward or thrust me. I had no one to turn around and say, well, you know, hey, you got $100 or $200. I didn't have that, anything to draw with
yes.
from that, but from the wealth that God has.
Come
so
on,
I
come
had
on.
To learn how to draw from God's wealth, because I didn't have no, I couldn't turn and say, well, where's my husband? Where's this here?
Mm-hmm.
Where's that? I didn't have any of those natural things
right.
that some people have. And I think that God did not allow me to have it because he wanted me to understand his spiritual truth.
Yes.
Because had I had those things, it's easy to rely on those things.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Because something, whenever God tells you to do something, one thing that I've learned clearly, that it's always going to be more than in your bank account.
Yes.
It don't really matter how rich you are. It's
yes.
going to be more than what you have.
Yes.
And the reason it's going to be more than what you have is because God never wants to do you to do anything without him.
Yes.
It's everything is done in relationship with him. So no matter what it is, you're never going to have seemingly have enough. You're never going to have the ability, but that's when you have to learn how to lean.
Yes.
To lean on his resources. Stop looking at it the way that we're looking at it, as if God is just going to push us out there and then he's just going to run and hide his hand.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
know what I'm saying? He ain't going to tell
ain't
us.
Like, man.
Yeah. You
yeah.
know, okay, go build a big coliseum and, you know, and you look and you're like, oh, I ain't got no money in my bank account, you know, and you're like, well, how am I going to do that?
Right.
And, you know, those challenges do
come. But as, you know, they said, it's one step at a time. God is not going to reveal the whole thing.
Yes.
He's going to allow you to take, put one foot in front of the other. So what did I do? I started writing the vision. I wrote down everything. God started sending people because it was activated by faith.
Mm-hmm.
It was not activated by my situation because God had to send people.
Mm-hmm.
He had to. It was activated by faith. So I started writing the vision, you know, and making it plain. Then I started going out to look for the place. And I had to lean on the unction of the Holy Spirit. Then God
right.
said, okay, there go your place.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I'm still leaning. I'm still leaning. I ain't got the money to do everything that
yeah.
needs to be done. But God began to add more
yeah.
people.
Come on
he
now.
Began to add more people. But God,
yes.
I couldn't wait until he showed me everything in
yes.
everybody
right.
before I moved.
Come
yeah.
on,
I had to move
ain't
because God said it. Because he gave the vision, and he will make the provision. And many times that we stand back and we say, well, you know, I don't have this. Because I have friends, and they be like, well, I don't have no money for this, and I don't. But that's the trick of the enemy. And let me tell you something. We can still get caught up in it.
Yeah.
Because let me tell you something. When God told me to move from my business that I was in for 20 years, you know what I told God? After everything that God had did, everything, I looked at God and said, I don't have no money.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't give me an answer then about it. He
mm-hmm.
waited almost a year later, and he said to me, you ain't had no money. We never when you did nothing. You ain't never had no money. You know, he reminded me of it, but he didn't remind me right then. He allowed me to say it, and he allowed me to suffer.
Right.
Because that was my own mouth. And that was my own choosing, and that was where my faith was. And my
right.
faith took me where I didn't want to go.
Come on now.
Right.
You know, so sometimes when we don't take the heed to the word of God, and,
mm-hmm.
you know, we get in these different, you know, big places. Because when God tells you to step out, you in a big place, and it's like you out on the water. You
mm-hmm.
can't, like, you know, stand up in the water because the water's over your head
That's
now.
Right.
Right.
So
right.
you have to learn how to walk by faith.
Absolutely.
You know,
absolutely.
And that's the thing that, you know, we really don't like doing.
Yeah.
Yeah,
we
hate
really
that. We hate that part.
We
yeah.
like to be comfortable.
Yeah.
We like to see
yeah.
the seat and sit in it. You know, we don't like the challenge of that faith has to bring to you, you know.
Yeah.
It's
the mentality.
Mm-hmm.
The mind.
Mm-hmm.
It's like he said, drop everything, leave it behind, follow me.
Yeah.
He wants us to get to that mentality where we're not so leaning on things of the world. It's just like when he took Job through everything he took us through. Job had everything.
Yeah.
He had everything. But he had to get Job to a place where his mind, you see what I'm saying? He had
yeah.
to get him to a place now where his mind
yeah.
had to literally depend on him.
Mm-hmm.
Not worrying so much about everything that he have.
Mm-hmm.
I got everything. Even though he said Job was a good man.
Mm-hmm.
But still, he knew that Job had the mindset that I got everything. So he needed to get Job, like he's
mm-hmm.
trying to get all of us,
yeah.
to a place to where money is not really the visual
right.
of our day. To where money and things ain't really the visual of our day because, as he told the disciples, drop everything, walk with me. They're walking with Jesus, so they got everything.
Yeah.
So Jesus said, if you're walking with me daily, that means you got everything. So it's just getting our mindset to line up with everything that the scriptures are saying. And
mm-hmm.
so we can walk it out daily and really do it in faith. Because if I could show you a bank,
mm-hmm.
why can't you believe that you can fill that bank up with just your money?
Yeah, because you can. And you know what the thing about it is that we don't want to have the faith of God
mm-hmm.
a lot of times. You know, sometimes that we, you know, our situation challenges us so much, you know, and that's why we end up like, I said I was treading water. God said, I didn't tell you to tread water. I said, walk on this water.
Come on now.
And so sometimes when you're treading water, you know, it tires you out. It makes you weary. It makes you frustrated.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because it's not the way that God called us to do it.
Mm-hmm.
He said, walk on it. In other words, he said, overcome it. Stand on it. You on the top of this thing. You know, and so we can't get our mind to get up on top of that because that's water. You know, naturally, you know, you just can't stand
mm-hmm.
on water.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Because that's where our mind is that we're
we're getting in our carnal, in ourselves. Mm,
right.
And like I said, it doesn't even matter that God has shown you it, because you can forget it just as quick. Because this flesh always reminds you of things so much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Your flesh reminds you of pain.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, the pain. And you could be moved, like you said, distracted to it. So even though, God, you know this spiritual truth, you still, even after God showed me all of that, I still was like, God had blessed me with this and did all these supernatural, and I was still like, well, you know, I don't have no money. And he said, okay.
Wow.
He didn't say nothing. He didn't say nothing for a while.
Amen.
And then he reminded me, nothing that you have that's worth anything, did you get it through your own ability?
Come on.
That's
now.
What
Come
I
on.
Was going to say, that
Come on.
That he that the verse is that no man has left houses and land to follow him that have not received in this life.
Come on now.
In this life.
Come on.
In this
come
life,
on.
Uh-huh. Houses and land,
uh-huh.
And in the world to come.
Mm.
You see, so whatever we leave for the cause of Christ,
yes.
I left my house.
Mm.
The Lord had gave me a house in Pennsylvania.
Mm.
I came to Tampa with one bag of clothes.
Oh, mm.
And my son's Tonka truck. And my cosmetology books.
Mm.
And I came here with that, left my house behind because God said move.
Mm-hmm.
And so I came here not knowing anybody, not knowing anything. And God supernaturally, it wasn't easy because I didn't always have the mind that I was supposed to have. You know, sometimes it took me to get in really challenging situations. You know, a lot of times we got to get backed up against the wall before we step out in our king and queen mode. Wait a minute, I'm a queen. I ain't supposed to be in this corner over
right,
here.
Right.
You know, that's the way it almost has to happen. You almost
right.
have to be
right.
like way backed
right.
up in the corner down here somewhere low. And you're like, wait a minute. I'm a queen. They got cars on that lot. Oh, I'm going right over there. Can you get me one of them? I had my husband drop me off. I said, you know what? Drop me off on that corner on that lot right there. I'm going to get me a car. I ain't had no money. He was looking at me like, he crazy. But see, I knew that God was the one that takes care of me.
Yeah.
You know, my husband was getting weary of driving me to where I needed to go. And I said, you know what? That's okay. Thank you for taking me, but I am a child of God. And as long as I'm God's child, he's going to take care of me. So drop me off right here. And, you know, and I wasn't trying to be mean or nasty or rude, but it was that moment where I got pushed up against the wall. I didn't have no way to get to work. I didn't have anything that I needed. And I had to realize that my supply of my needs wasn't even in my husband.
Uh-huh.
And my supply of my need was still in God.
Uh-huh.
You know, and I couldn't, you know, stress my husband out either. Mm-hmm. I couldn't stress my husband out because his faith might not be
where
mine was.
Amen.
So I had to step out in that situation, and God moved, and I drove right off that lot with my car.
I know
that's
He'll do it.
He'll, you know,
Amen.
And he'll do it. He'll do it. So you guys, what did you take out of tonight's lesson? Because we're going to wrap up because, we know, we got these kids. They got to get ready for school.
Mm-hmm.
They tired. They done had a long day.
Yeah.
What did you take out of tonight's lesson?
Still, for me, the part is just endless treasures.
Yeah.
Endless treasures. That just sticks with me. You know,
yeah.
I can never say that I don't have ever again.
Mm.
We have endless.
Endless.
And endless treasures can be everything.
Yes.
Finances.
Yeah.
Anything material. Exactly.
Mm.
Everything.
Mm.
Endless.
Amen.
Amen.
That's good. That's good. That's good.
Keep your eyes on the prize.
Yes.
It is on God.
Yes. 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 David said, wait a minute. That was quick.
Yeah, David. Endless treasure.
Endless treasure.
Yeah.
Endless treasure.
But I got out of it was that even though he provides, even when we mess up on what he has given us, out of front of stewardship, he still comes through.
Mm.
Again,
Amen.
Again, again.
Yeah.
And that day, he was showing me, okay, I gave you this. You didn't have that property. You wouldn't be going through all this as you were moving.
Mm.
Okay. And I had behind your car tells you 8 miles.
Mm-hmm.
I had 8 miles in that traffic. And I felt my mind go, I was like, hold on, please, don't do this. And I was able to get my head again, get through this, get my car up, and I was like, thank you, Jesus. So, what I'm saying is, even when we mess up, he still is able to do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's good. Stop believing people's lies. Replace all lies with truth. Stop getting distracted by my feelings.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right.
The Kayla, you're the only one left. You and Makai, the only ones left. Well, the little one. What'd you get? That's one knocked out. Is he face sleeping?
No.
Yeah, he's leaving.
You were taking
food.
Notes to Kayla.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Come on now.
You're that good.
Come on now.
Bam! Bam! Makai, did you have anything you wanted to add? Makai.
Redeem your brother and sister.
Did you have anything you wanted to add? What?
Go ahead.
Good
night.
My
child.
Yeah, everybody can do the same thing.
We have equal access.
Oh,
wow.
We have equal. Yes. Well, you guys, listen. I had no idea what God was going to do tonight, and that's just where we ended up. But he always knows what he's doing, and he always has a perfect plan. If it's God's will, we'll do the rest of chapter 3 next week, if it's God's will. But if he leads in a different direction, then we'll go in that direction. But, you know, I love you guys, and I'm so glad that you all are a part of my life and that I can count on you all to be praying while I'm in labor.
Remember when I asked him to read on Sunday?
Uh-huh.
When I went across?
Uh-huh.
So,
oh,
I got a follow-up reply a week later.
Oh, wow. Go ahead, Dion.
Says, hi, David. Thanks for the note. I'll think about it. It was good talking to you last weekend.
Now, this is an atheist guy that told me, I don't believe God.
Wow.
And then I dropped him away. And...
wow.
He responded, I think about it.
Mm-hmm. Y'all, we have to just be obedient to the Spirit of God. God showed me this woman this morning and told me to give her a word, and I didn't want to do it because, you know, I didn't want to do it.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't want to do it. And especially because it dealt with her physical appearance, you know. God showed me her a size 12. She is not a 12 now. But God showed me her a size 12 on a stage talking about her transformation.
Mm.
And I heard the words that she was speaking to the women. And women were just stretched out on the floor, prostrate, crying.
Mm.
Because, you know, they just had been so broken and had just given up hope. And when she wrote back, I thought I was all nervous. I thought, oh, Lord, Jesus. She said, wow. I normally don't listen to words that people give me because I get these inboxes all the time.
Mm.
But I hear you, sis.
Mm.
She said, I'm listening.
Wow.
And I said, well, praise God, you know.
Mm-hmm.
God is doing something.
Mm-hmm.
He's doing something, and it's amazing. It's amazing. Mm-hmm. Let's close out with a word of prayer. Dion, will you pray us out?
Yes. All minds are clear. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this night, Father God. We thank
yes,
you
sir.
For bringing all of us together, Father God, and not just that, God, but you allowed all of us to arrive here safely tonight, Father God.
Yes.
Even with a few delays, Father God, but you